are listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the Closing Market Report, Wednesday afternoon, the 24th day of July. On the phone line with us is Jackie Vike. She's with Stuart Peterson in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. How are you today?
Well, I'm certainly better than the markets were. I can tell you that.
The markets were ugly, and soybeans really tanked over the last couple of days. Most are blaming it on a break in the basis. And I suspect you've been watching that basis to see how big that break is and historically whether it's in line with anything or if it really is a precedent setter.
Well, you know, there are some people saying it's the largest in history in the last, in the last 2 days. And so, you know, that's a question. I couldn't confirm it before we were going to do the show, but I can believe it. You know, when you have a basis that's as strong as what we've seen, it's not a big surprise. It again goes to what we talked about this morning, how quickly it can go away, you know, compared to how long it takes it to get it to where we want it to be. It really comes down, Todd, to why did it break the way it did? You know, have farmers really been selling the way that that we're hearing they've been selling? And I know this morning I told you I haven't been able to find anybody who I knew that was sitting on beans that's actually sold. But we'll have to see. I think it's related to, you know, the Gulf basis, of course, has gotten softer, too. And today wasn't helped at all on the bean side by the China PMI weaker numbers. Even though Beijing came out and said, you know, we're not going to grow any less than at 7% rate, that I guess didn't satisfy traders. We saw palm oil at 7-month lows, really just pummeled. Bean oil and meal, which was up limit on Monday, was down limit today, and so it's just been a real tough day on the bean side of things. Oil World came out said they expect to see a drop in third quarter exports. You know. All of that adds fuel to the fire, and then you have the black box trading.
Right.
And black boxes don't have emotion.
They don't have any emotion. They trade on charts when they get to certain points, up and down both, I suppose. And then they trade on, you know, has there been some unwinding of some spreads, some rolling? What kinds of things have been happening as we head for some pre-positioning? I guess option expiration is going to happen again soon.
All right. I do believe that we certainly did see spread unwinding today. There's no question about that. I don't think we would have seen the strength in November beans or in December corn that we did had it not been for the spread unwinding. You're seeing a lot of positioning ahead of option expiration for August, which takes place on Friday. And, you know, that will be for August beans. It will also be for August cereal options that trade in the corn pit as well as in the wheat pit. And so, you know, it's a matter of craziness. We have the end of the month coming, which means first notice day will be coming too, a week from today. And you know, it's one of those things when you end up going into first notice day on any of the grain commodities, you no longer have limits in there. So I think this today was more of an opportunity. We saw August beans come off of limit, go back, really come back strong. And then it just looked like the black box is set right back in and send it back down. And there wasn't any selling pool on the close. In fact, we were not even limit down on the close. We were 69.5 down, but we did settle at limit. So I'm sure everybody watching close tonight to see once what this begins to do overnight.
So we didn't lock limit down at the close, but they settled it there? That's kind of odd.
Yeah.
That seems odd
yeah.
to me. That just
seems... Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those situations. It's just, you know, bid and ask determine the settlement, and they take this average. And things have changed over the years in the way that, because of the electronics, in the way that they determine it. And so, well, obviously, that's what it came out to be.
Well, you said there wasn't a pool, so that's the reason I thought it was odd. I thought if there's nothing waiting there and there's not a pool, I was surprised if that was the case. There could be things that are back in the back waiting.
That's
and
exactly
I suppose
right.
they could, I suppose in the electronic, what did they call that, the depth of the... The marketplace,
yeah.
So
yeah.
there could be things
yeah.
there that weren't being met, and so they pushed it down to a 70-cent limit. That'll widen things
yeah.
out tomorrow then by another 35 cents, so we'll have, what, $1.05 trade in the August contract?
That's
is
right.
that right?
Well, no, we didn't do it in two contract
oh,
months.
Oh, that's right.
So it
yeah.
has to be in more than one contract month, so there won't be any change on limit on that tomorrow at all.
Oh, so we'll still be at 70.
You know, and November beans didn't do poorly either. I think it's being supported by that acreage resurvey that's coming out,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the 12th of August. And, The other Debbie Downer that we've got going on here is that today we saw the Brazilian real get softer again, which just means that because the Brazilians get paid in local currency based on U.S. dollars, when the real gets softer, they actually get paid more local currency. And so what we thought would be a discouraging fact in terms of expansion for bean and corn acres down there is turning out not to be so. And so that, I think, is way in the background, but it is definitely sitting there.
Hey, I've been noticing in the ag blogs and on websites and such that Iowa producers are saying, hey, wait a second, we don't look really good. In fact, we look not so great at all, or at least that's what we think. And they're a little discouraged by what's been happening in Chicago, especially for corn, I suppose. But for both the corn and the soybeans, have you talked to enough of them to know what their conditions really are like on the ground there?
Oh, I can tell you what their conditions are. They are so bullish they can't see through their eyes right now. And it's because they're looking at their situation. And how hard wouldn't it be for any of us to do that when you have such an awful situation that you didn't get the plant or you haven't gotten the rain other people have gotten, and it's very hard not to be that way. This is one of the things you and I have talked about before. We will no doubt have a smaller crop. We'll have fewer acres. We'll probably have a lower yield than where we're at. But the reality is we can lob 500 million bushels off of this and still have a tremendously big carryout. And until, you know, the thing that complicates things, Todd, is because now the FSA requirements for reporting have been pushed off to August.
Right.
We have a hard enough time getting them all formulated and everything so that we have all the information by October the way it is. And so it'll probably be October before we know corn acreage or somewhere close to corn acreage.
That would be normally when the adjustment would be made, right? It's not made in September normally, right? So
yep,
it's October,
that's exactly
right?
Correct. And so, you know, but we could see yield adjustment in between, you know, now and then. But there's just so much information out there that we're not going to have a good handle on. And so, like anything else, it's easier for the market to go down than it is to go up. Actually, a seasonal time of year like this where the next 2 weeks of pollination look to be almost ideal, if maybe a little on the cool side, but pretty much ideal.
Hey,
so it's just not a good situation.
Can we switch crops just a bit? Because there is a wheat tour going on, and I think they're finding some pretty good wheat out west, or maybe it's in the northwest or the northern part of the Midwest. What did you hear from that?
Right. Yeah, well, when you look at, you know, it's the hard red spring wheat tour that's going on right now, you know, and they're up in North Dakota and in the northern part of South Dakota yesterday, and it was pretty shocking because they came in at 43.3 for an estimated yield versus 42.9 last year and a five-year average of 41.9. So that again says to traders, wow, we heard nothing was good up there, and take a look at what this is doing right now. And so I think that's something else that they're struggling with. In the bigger picture, I think that you look at wheat, it's going to be supported. There's been talk out there that the China, Egypt, and Iran imports are maybe estimated to be 5 million metric tons less than what the expectation is right now. So we could see more imports from them, and that could be very supportive. Right at the moment, I think wheat's been taking its cues from corn, just like we normally see, and corn takes its cues from wheat at times. And so I was surprised. Let's just put it that way. I didn't expect that. Now, when you talk to guys about hard red winter wheat, now, that might be a whole different story,
mm-hmm.
because it has not been very nice when you get out in the West, and it's been pretty tough even with the irrigated. You hear things like 50, 60 bushel on irrigated, where at times we hear 80 to 100 bushel on irrigated, and dry land wheat that's, you know, 7, 10, 15, just not great. But that's kind of in the background at the moment. They're not so concerned about that, and I think it's primarily because we're tasseling corn, you know, and so what's our next big hurdle? Kernel fill, right?
Right.
There are very few hurdles to go over anymore, and therefore, you know, the danger to losing a lot more of the crop is not as big to them. So, you know, the next big thing will probably be a frost scare. And personally, I think a frost scare to beans is going to be more serious than a frost scare to corn. You know, and this is one year that I truly believe that we could see something like that, or we could see a danger of that to the bean crop. But, you know, the other thing that's dogging corn at the moment is the crush in Brazil. The cane crush is up 31.2% over last year. That's huge. And that's their ethanol production just in July alone was up 10.4% over a year ago. It backs up the idea that we will probably see less corn for ethanol production from an export standpoint to Brazil. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those extra 250 million bushels that the USDA has built in there right now for exports for this next year, our usage for ethanol for next year, are going to come under more question as long as sugar prices continue to remain somewhat weak.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Oh, you're welcome, Todd. Have a great one.
Hey, you too. Thanks so much. That's Jackie Vex. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear her again, you can do that on our website. The address is willag.org.